Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM from Bellevue, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, with now over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. Our listener base has really jumped recently, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their support, and especially also Simon for coming on my show. Simon Parks will be coming on from live from England in just a few minutes, and I just always really enjoy his interviews. On the second hour, we'll be having a lady named Carrie Clancy coming to us. She's an Australian lady from Bali, and she's a wonderful spiritual teacher and a medium, does a lot of healing there, and she'll be channeling Buddha today, among other great spirits, so it should be an amazing Out of This World show. I want to thank everyone so much for their support. We'll be talking about a lot of interesting topics. I'm going to save the best till Simon comes on in a few minutes, but I'm interested in Simon's thoughts about North Korea. You know, he predicted it on my show a couple of weeks ago, before it was news in the mainstream media, that where there would be peace in the North Korean peninsula. And one topic that I'm interested in, too, is our psychic attacks. So I'd like to ask Simon about that today. Also, I'd like to ask about the new 5G cell tower program that he told me a little bit about. I want to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also have a television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. And it's over 50 episodes are also available now under YouTube. I've had a friend of mine told me yesterday he had trouble finding it, so we'll be putting up a new tab within the next week or so on my radio website called www.outofthisworld1150.com. There'll be a tab just for the TV show. It'll be the top of the page, and please look for that sometime next week, and it'll make it much easier to find the shows. And also, I want to thank everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place, including Luke in Quebec and many others for their wonderful support and help, and especially the Crystal Spirit Spiritual Center in Nakoma and Tom Palladino. Tom's a good friend of mine. He's a famous scalar energy healer, and he has now a special 15-day free trial of his scalar energy healing going on. And if you'd like to enroll in his fantastic and free program, please go to his website at www.selfhealgo.com. That's selfhealgo.com. He uses Nikola Tesla's technology to help people with any spiritual or physical condition. And you just need to send him your picture, and it's as simple as that. And he'll be happy to give you some Tesla treatments for free for 15 days. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience in over 80 countries for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to always thank my dear friend Carol designing my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric. Eric Ryder and Eric Cream at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I've mentioned this before, but Carol lost her father last year, and so I'd like to ask everyone sending today to send lots of love and light to her and her mother and their beautiful family for the loss of their dear father, and also to please send lots of love and light to Masako Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan, who had a stroke last year. Thank you so much for sending them their love and light. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. If you missed my Galactic Wisdom Conference a few months ago, you can order the audios and some videos of the conference for just $97. If you're interested, please send me an email or call me. The conference will be held at the same location, Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And our website for the conference is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We've already gotten several people signing up for next year's conference nearly a year early. The early bird special is just $55 for the conference. And also this summer, I'm taking two groups of people from July 2nd through the 8th and September 6th through the 11th to Mount Shasta, Telos, in the Hollow Earth. And I'm starting to get people signing up for that as well. I'm going to keep the numbers small for both groups to have so it's more meaningful experience for everyone. The cost is just $200 per person and includes free dry camping right at the entrance to the Hollow Earth on Mount Shasta. If you want to go, please send me an email or call me. There are certain spiritual protocols you have to follow before going on the trip, including not eating any meat for at least 3 weeks before the trip. Also, the Telosians, the people of Telos, have asked me to screen everybody before I bring them down. So I will give you, if you're interested, send me an email, and then we'll talk on the phone, and I'll give you a brief screening. I have to get their permission before I bring you to Mount Shasta and Telos. We always see lots of Sasquatch and UFOs flying around the mountain. It's an amazing, really amazing and beautiful place, and we always have an incredible time there. Well, now I'd like to bring in my good friend Simon Parks, coming to us live from England. Simon, how are you today?
Hello, Ted. I'm feeling very good and delighted to be back on your show to speak to you and to Eric, of course, who does so many great things behind the scenes, and to speak to your audience.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Simon. You know, I won't go into details on the air, but week before last, you gave me a reading, and what you told me was so spot on. And I followed your advice and got some good rest. I just want to thank you so much for your wonderful advice.
Well, that's what friends are for, aren't they, to say what they see.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, and thank you for doing that. Much for doing that. For those of you who don't know Simon Parks is a famous contactee with extraterrestrial life beyond this planet. His parents work for the British Security Service, called MI6 and MI5. And before he went public with his story in 2010, since going public with his story in 2010, he's given many, many presentations, and he also has an ongoing does consultations and psychic readings for people from his home in England. And he's a wonderful man. I really enjoy talking to Simon. And he has insights on the news before their news. And you talked, I know I mentioned this before, about North Korea weeks ago, that there would be peace in the Korean Peninsula before it even happened. And it happened. And I just want to thank you for your prediction, because you were spot on.
Thank you, Ted. I'll tell you something else. It's just been announced that North Korea is to change its time zone to match that of the South. So there will be one time zone through the two countries, and that is an absolute clear indication that they're going to unify, to reunify. Just as the Berlin Wall came down and East Germany joined with West Germany and became, you know, Germany. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find North and South Korea becoming one Korea, and matching or connecting the time zones is the beginning, because that's nothing to do with the military. Nothing at all. Mm-hmm. That's to do with everything from airplanes to businesses to domestic arrangements. That means they are absolutely committed to reunifying. You won't find a newspaper in the establishment anywhere talking about reunification at the moment. Mm-hmm. They may be just talking about ditching their nuclear weapons. But yeah, you've heard it on your show. This is what they're aiming for. They're aiming to reunify now that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers have drawn back from Korea. And because President Trump made such a determined stand, basically said to North Korea, if you don't do away with your nuclear weapons, we will actually invade you. And for the first time in history, the Chinese and the Russians basically said to America, right, go on, go and do it. We're not going to stop you. Yeah. And as soon as North Korea realized that they lost their support, they had to come to the table and talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. That is so fantastic. I have a whole bunch of other questions, including some questions sent to me by my listeners. But before we go on to that, what other things, may I dare ask, do you see happening this year before it's news?
Well, yours is, of course, a United States radio show. So there's very little point in me talking about, you know, what's happening in other countries, unless, of course, it does have an effect, because on a spiritual level, we shouldn't really just think of ourselves as continents or countries. We are, right. You know, we're one person, we're one humanity, we're all connected.
Right.
So I will, I'll just talk about the banking system in Germany, because that will have a big effect.
Okay.
A couple of days ago, I posted on my website, one of our major newspapers here in Great Britain. It's called the Daily Express,
mm-hmm.
and it's been going for many, many years. And they somehow managed to interview some of the bank's employees.
Oh.
And the interview was startling, and that's why I put it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the bank employees were telling the reporter that they thought their bank wasn't going to survive. They actually are on record as saying, we don't think Deutsche Bank is going to survive. We think it's going to go under. Now, I've been predicting this, and to be fair, so have other people. I've not been the only person.
Right.
But I've been predicting this for 2 to 3 years. And every sort of fall, they just managed to save themselves. For the last couple of years, around about the September-October time,
mm-hmm.
they were looking particularly dodgy. They just managed to save themselves, either by borrowing huge amounts of money or doing some sort of deal. But if their own employees are telling the media that they think their bank's going to collapse, I think that's the biggest indicator we've had. Now, it is important because America does a lot of trade with Great Britain. It does a lot mm-hmm. of trade with Europe. And if that bank was to collapse, it would have a knock-on effect. So I'll just say to your listeners, just cast your eye across the water a little bit. Just keep your eye on Germany and the Deutsche Bank.
Okay.
So that's that. From the American point of view, not much has moved forward or changed since I last spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still watching the Edgar Hoover building.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of people there who perhaps need to be kicked upstairs, mm-hmm. given some retirement. When that occurs, then I think we will see the next stage of President Trump's plan to try to bring a bit more balance to the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'll say again to your audience, Ted, is just keep your eye open, because that will hit the news. It will be in the mainstream when some of these main players in the FBI tend to be retired off or moved off.
Sure.
That will be a big indicator.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're welcome to talk about other countries, too, because as you said earlier, we're all one. We're all. And that's the beauty of this age that we're going into, that we're realizing that we are all one. And if we declare war on another country, Simon, or we hurt someone else, we're actually hurting ourselves, because we're all linked together.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Well, okay, I'll take you up on that then. Okay. Let's go to the South Americas.
Okay.
And in the South Americas, the audience will be absolutely devastated to hear that the interest rate in Argentina mm-hmm. has just been raised to 40%.
40%,
yes.
Goodness.
I don't know what the inflation rate this year is, but uh-huh. the close of last year, the inflation rate was 25%.
Oh, my goodness.
It is important because wow. Argentina has its money pegged to the dollar.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So they're linked like that. So, you know, that is the Americas. It's the South Americas. It's a country that, you know, in some ways it's highly developed and in some ways it's not. But it's a financial center. Argentina has some of the most important financial centers. And, of course, from the days of the end of the Second World War, many, many Germans went there with a lot of money and started up businesses. And if they're going through a bit of a difficult time, then, again, it's worth the audience just keeping an eye on that because, right. you know, it's only just across your borders, you know. It's on there. So there's a lot going on, but in terms of North America, mm-hmm. there isn't anything dramatic that's occurred since we last spoke.
Okay.
But, you know, anything can happen, can't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What about Japan?
Well, ever since they had that terrible disaster,
right,
the Japanese have pulled away from the world stage. They've been very, very careful. They've been introspective, looked in on themselves, and there's been a problem with that, because when some people who are not very good think that the world isn't looking at them, they might do financial deals or mm-hmm. get involved in things which aren't so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to be truthful, Japan is probably one of the countries that will see a change in its government. I don't just mean an election, a normal election. I think there might be a standing down of power. I think there might be a group of very well-known leaders who might just say, we've had enough of this, we're leaving, and it might be replaced. So I think that Japan is maneuvering itself for quite a big change.
I know after Fukushima, what they call it 311 there, which happened back in, I believe, was it 311, March of 2011, the Abe government instituted a draconian law against any kind of freedom of the speech and the press. And so today, if you say anything criticizing the government about Fukushima, you could end up in prison with a felony. So people are afraid to talk about Fukushima. I know that.
So I didn't know that, Ted.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, of course, this is a Seattle-based radio station, so I'm not afraid to talk about Fukushima. I haven't criticized the Japanese government at all in Fukushima. I just think it's a tragedy that it happened, and I know a lot of people want it cleaned up. And so, but there is that, they call it very draconian. The journalists from what my friends have told me before in Japan, Simon, are very afraid to say anything about Fukushima. And most people in the Fukushima area that I'm told prefer, they're so much into saving face in Japan that they just ignore it. They just kind of, it's sad. They don't even want to talk about it, not only because of that law, but they're just, they don't know what to do. Yeah, so.
I understand that the Japanese have a great pride and a great tradition. And if there's shame, then they sort of go into this lockdown mentality.
Right.
A couple of years back, I thought it was a joke, but actually it was deadly serious. They were thinking of, they had all these millions of tons of earth and rock that was from the polluted area.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what to do with it, and they had a serious option to start dumping it in the public parks. And I thought that was a joke until I realized actually it was a genuine Japanese plan to dump millions of tons of radioactive material in the public spaces and public parks.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether that actually went ahead in the end. I probably hope not. But you've got to question the logic behind any organization or any government that is rationally looking at that as an option.
Right.
So I think probably the best thing could happen would be that the Japanese people have some option to have a new government, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, I have friends in Japan, and I do hear things going on there that is not in the mainstream media, but I'm not surprised. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Real briefly, I know I mentioned this before on my show, Dr. Moto, wonderful man. He did an experiment back in the 90s where he took a bottle of radioactive water from a nuclear reactor in Japan, Simon, and he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle and also put some love and gratitude water crystals, which had been photographed by Dr. Moto's office, on the bottle. And within 48 hours, all the radiation was completely gone. That's why it happened, because two things. Water has memory, and it gravitates to a higher dimensional, higher vibration. And so that's what happened with the water. The vibration of the water raised when he wrote love and gratitude and used these crystals, pictures of water crystals, on the bottle itself, and the radiation just disappeared. It was gone. And, you know, it's not too hard to think that, well, why don't they do that now? Why don't they spend 5 minutes and write love and gratitude over all the four reactors at Fukushima? Why don't they use the water crystal pictures from the Emoto office and stick them, blow them up and stick them on the reactors where the radiation is? That experiment did work. Dr. Moto scientifically proved it, and there's no reason why it wouldn't work today. And you're talking, it could be the radiation problem of Fukushima could be largely solved within 5 minutes.
Isn't this the chap that experimented also by putting photographs of people into little tubs and freezing it? And
that's right.
In the tub where he put the photograph of Adolf Hitler, the ice crystals were deformed.
Mm-hmm.
But when he put a picture of someone, I can't remember who it was, who'd done good works in their life, the crystals were more perfectly formed. That is the same chap, isn't it?
Same one. It's the same one.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was.
That brings up another issue, and it brings in China as well, because ever since Dr. Moto passed away in October 2014 From what I know, I've been talking to Dr. Moto ever since he's passed away, and from what I know, from what Dr. Moto's told me, he wanted to bring this subject up today, their office has been under constant negative psychic attack by two groups of psychics in China, one's outside of Beijing, the other one's outside of Shanghai, and they send them constant psychic attacks. Many in the office, Moto office, which is still functioning, is doing wonderful work, don't even realize they're under attack. So what happens is that these psychics who are working for the Chinese government send these negative thoughts to the people there in the office, and they come up. It has hurt, Dr. Moto says it's hurt office morale, and it's affected them in many negative ways. And I don't know what to do except tell them, of course. But do you have any, if you suspect you're getting psychic attacks, or you know others who are maybe getting psychic attacks, where these psychics are very crafty in China. They're able to sometimes substitute their negative thoughts for the positive thoughts of light workers around the world. I don't know who else they attack. I think they've tried to attack me, but I'm protected, and I really don't care. I don't. How do you protect yourself against a psychic attack like that?
Right. Most people haven't had the training, don't understand it, and haven't needed it. So therefore, it's very difficult for them to go into it. Mm-hmm. The best way, this is probably a very American way, mm-hmm. you basically hire your own psychics, mm-hmm. and you put a field around your office or around your individuals. Where you actually hire your own psychics, and you're basically doing that. In terms of defending yourself individually, I mean it quite seriously, you have to go to magic school. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the capabilities of the spirit and the mind. You have to learn about the divine strength of source, mm-hmm. and how to commute that or transmute that energy through your higher self and to radiate a defensive shield. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be trained. Mm-hmm. So very, very few people have it naturally. Most people have to learn it. So your two options are to hire psychics to basically protect you for the psychic shield, mm-hmm. or start training yourself up through those who can act as mentors and teach you how to protect yourself.
Well, this leads to another good question, I think. What happens if, for example, the psychics in China who are attacking the Emoto office with negative thoughts, trying to cause them harm, or another psychic around the world who's trying to cause other people harm, using their psychic and spiritual talents for a negative end? Is there a karmic repercussion upon them in the future? Do they have to pay for that?
They do. They pay for it in the sense that in their next life, their following life, they may incarnate into a very body, a very person who is themselves being psychically attacked.
I see.
They may incarnate and not have the skills that they had in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it isn't that they are suddenly incarnated and they're deformed, they only have one leg or one arm. It doesn't work like that. It's what we used to say in England in the old days, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
Sure.
So what you do to one person in one lifetime gets done back to you in a following lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, I remember on our last conversation a few weeks ago, you mentioned that you looked at the Chinese government in its current form, the negative parts of it, collapsing within about 18 months. That would lead us to the end of 2019. And I know China's a huge country. It has 25% of the world's population. And with that big an area and a huge population, not all of the government's bad. I don't think it's, but there are certain sectors, of course, which I think are bad and causing great harm, not only for the people of China, but also for the world as well. So it'd be interesting to see, and you've been right in your predictions too, Simon, so it'll be interesting to see what rolls around in January of 2020 in that part of the world. The other thing I was going to ask you, Simon, is you talked about the banking crisis in Germany. If the banks fail in Germany, will that lead to problems over here on this side of the pond?
It lead to problems. It won't lead to a run on the bank in the US. Mm-hmm. But you see, over the last 3 years, every bank has been cutting its ties with the Deutsche Bank. You know very well about the subprime mortgage lending. Mm-hmm. Deutsche Bank had more than its fair share of bad debt, mm-hmm. which it had bought, and when the days were good, mm-hmm. And it was making a pretty penny on it. They were doing that, but mm-hmm. since then, governments, private individuals, and banks have not been taking that debt off Deutsche. So Deutsche has been carrying a very heavy, what they call in the industry, a toxic account. And if you can't dump that toxic account onto somebody else, mm-hmm. then you begin to suffer. And that's basically what's happened. In the old days, one bank would just pass its toxic account to another bank. They'd hold on to it for about 3 weeks. They'd pass it to another bank. So no bank ever held it long enough to show on the books as a long-term problem. But the issue, I think, for the US would be how its trade was affected with Europe, because Europe uses a different currency. It uses the euro. Mm-hmm. The exchange rate then between the euro and the dollar. That's really where the hammer would fall, and it would be very interesting to see the effect. But to answer your question, no, it won't be a huge effect, but it would hit in certain areas, no doubt of it.
Interesting. Of course, Europe still uses the euro as a currency, and if the bank fails, if a bank, big bank, or several banks fail in Germany, would that affect the value of the euro, Simon, do you think?
It would be catastrophic. Okay. I calculated that all you need is two major banks to collapse, and that would be the end of the euro. Mm-hmm. If Deutsche Bank did collapse, and I'm not predicting it will collapse, I'm saying that it will have a heck of a hard time. Mm-hmm. But all you'd need, and it's not about sticking my neck out, I'll say this, mm-hmm. the other bank that's in the problem is in Italy.
Okay.
It's not in Greece. It's not in mm-hmm. Spain. It's mm-hmm. Italy. Mm. If Deutsche was to suffer heavily, and a key bank in Italy were to suffer heavily, then I think you'd find that there would be a massive devaluing of the euro, and then major countries like France and Italy would want to leave the euro, and you take out those two key players, and you're finished. So I honestly think that the euro is doomed anyway. And that's the predominant reason why Great Britain never took on the euro. Mm. You know, we've been a member of the European Union for many, many years, and never once did we give up our British pound.
Right.
Because we always knew that the euro was a fly by night, as we say in England. It was just not going to hang on in there.
Right.
And of course, as your audience is well aware, I'm sure, you know, we as a country voted to leave Europe. So we are now on the verge now of officially leaving Europe. Wow. So I honestly think that that will do Britain good, mm-hmm. because if there is a collapse in the euro, we'll be like the US. We won't have a euro. We will be separate currency.
Sure, sure, absolutely. One thing you told me, I think it was during our reading, I'm not sure, recently, Simon, where you talked about the new cell towers. There's a new system of cell towers that they're trying to put in here in the United States called the 5G network. And a lot of people have been protesting against that. And you had mentioned that they're not the best for human health, and also that is there mind control technology with that as well? I'd love your thoughts on the new cell towers.
Well, it is incredibly serious. The problem that humanity has is that it has a real thirst for the latest toys, the latest gadgets.
Right.
You know, the media make great play of, you know, young people at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning being the first in the queue to a well-known, you know, cell phone store, getting and so on and so forth. So if you wanted to sneak something under the radar, then you'd do it and you'd say it as, this is going to increase your bandwidth, this is going to let you do everything you ever wanted to do, et cetera, et cetera. What we've got with 5G is it's not just a frequency, it's a combination of separate frequencies that mesh together And although this will sound pretty far-fetched to many people, it will create a very unusual resonance which would allow a non-biological creature to survive in it. What I'm talking about is an energy form, almost like a holograph, like a, not a ghost, but right. like that, which could survive in this energy field. And if you've got this being beamed all over the world, then you know these waves go right through us, don't they? They pass right through us, and the old radio waves never bothered us because their frequency was so low that it didn't disrupt the cells of our body. But as you increase these frequencies, and these things are quite disruptive now. Mm-hmm. You think about microwaves. You've got to keep away from the microwave oven because it'll hurt you. Right. So why are these other microwave devices so safe? And they're not. Right. In terms of mind control, it is possible to encode messages. You know, your audience knows about subliminal advertising.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm talking about messages encoded, not advertising, but giving people instructions. So messages giving people instructions encoded into 5G and then beamed into people's houses. So you don't need the television to brainwash people anymore. You'll just be able to do it through their normal Wi-Fi.
Well, this leads to my next question, because I just read an article last week on Facebook that the Chinese government had just developed a wireless mind control technology to read people's minds and also to implant ideas into them. That fits in what you're talking about. So the Chinese,
I've got something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got something even more exciting than that. And this is true. It's not made up. How's this?
Okay.
They are now experimenting in the mainstream with a technology that allows you to, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but allows you to watch your favorite TV show. And then you can go and have that taken out of your head so that you can go back and watch the same show the next day and you won't remember it, but you can watch it all over again and experience it and get excited again and so on. Because they're running out of material to put on television. And so what they want to do is to say to people, you know, you had that great excitement when you saw that football game. It was monumental, wasn't it? It was a really great game. Mm-hmm. You remember how you felt when you watched that game? How the excitement? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like to relive that again? So get this app. It'll wipe that from your mind and you can sit down again. You won't remember the score. You won't know who did what, and you can watch it again. Mm. Mind you, pay us because it's a pay by view. You've got to pay the dollars and we'll show you the film again. And then you can relive it. And they're actually working on that.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's terrifying because what it's saying is that they have the capability to wipe the minds of ordinary people watching a television screen. Mm-hmm. Now, to people who are in the military, they'll say, well, we've had this technology for 20 years, and I'm sure they have, but never before has it been released like this to the public. And if that's what the ordinary commercial companies have, then what have the bad guys got? So I really want the audience to be aware that, that 5G, we don't need it. If your cell phone works and you can get a phone message, if you can send a picture, if you can get on the internet, why do you need 5G? What's so special about it?
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. We're actually people don't realize it, but here in Seattle, the State Utilities Commission is just now having discussions about allowing the 5G network to come into Washington State. And I'll be having a lady on a week from today, Rebecca Campbell, who will be talking about the proposed 5G network. And I should put you in touch with her because I think she's aware of these dangers, and I think you probably would have a very interesting discussion. But it's one of those things where the current deliberations, many of them are being held, of course, behind closed doors. Most people don't realize anything that's going on, and they don't realize the dangers either of the 5G network. the negative forces want to get it in at some point. So one morning we'll just wake up and it's now 5G with all the mind control problems from that. So
the problem that we have, Ted, is that I totally agree with you. But the real problem here is that you can't go to a court of law and say what we've just said,
yeah,
because the system says that doesn't exist. So the only way that people will be able to challenge it is in terms of health issues, mm-hmm, and in terms of impact on the environment.
Right.
And of course, the system now has changed the laws so that it's very hard to campaign against anything like a cell phone tower. And if you campaign down the road of the health issues, they'll bring out 10,000 specialists,
sure,
who'll testify that it's perfectly safe.
Sure.
So we need a change at the top. This has, mm-hmm, got to come from the top. We can't do this from, yeah, the grassroots.
Right.
It's got to come from the top.
There is I want to tell you, there is a group of people down in Yelm, Washington, near Olympia, Washington, who've been fighting a cell tower down there, I think for the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and they're now in environmental studies. And it's funny, but even the people who are in favor of the cell tower, they're from T-Mobile, which is a cell company here in the United States, they've been privately told that some of their employees are actually secretly rooting them on because they know that the problems with the cell tower network, but they're fighting it on environmental grounds. And my hats are off to them. They're doing a good job, and I think they may win. But that's a local example of how people can organize.
Here in Great Britain, this will make your listeners laugh. Mm-hmm. Here in Great Britain, when people complain about a cell tower, and they complain on the way it will ruin the environment, I've seen two of these. They actually make plastic trees, 200 feet tall,
mm-hmm,
with fake plastic branches, and then they cover the cell phone tower in that, and you know they actually have plastic trees.
Wow.
That is the depth to which these organizations will go just to get these,
sure,
towers in.
Sure.
And it's just ridiculous. But we've got a heck of a battle on our hands with this,
yeah,
one. Absolutely, we have.
It's this brings up another point too. And when I ask you about Simon, it reminds me that I know that the dark forces have lost the battle, but the war is still not over, and they're still trying their darndest to try to overturn things, which is not going to be successful. But like with the cell tower, you still have to deal with these battles. I still see us ascending to a higher spiritual level. I still see us completing this shift by the year 2025. And I still, for example, see the negative parts of the Chinese government collapsing by the end of next year. But it's not going to be an easy road, and we still face challenges. But that's why I'm so grateful for your wisdom, Simon, because you inspire us all to do good things. So thank you.
Well, look, there are too many people. I call them the doom and gloom merchants. You know,
mm-hmm,
you just have to click on YouTube, and there's video after video saying 75% of the human population are going to be wiped out. There's going to be a third world war,
right,
this, that, and the other. And I don't believe any of that. I actually believe on a positive future. I'm not saying it because, I'm whistling in the wind. I'm saying it because I actually believe that will happen. Now, the reason that the negative forces are on the upswing, well, they're actually now on the downswing, but they've been on the upswing for about 6 months now,
mm-hmm,
is because their last throw of the dice is 5G. And are doing everything they can to hold on to the real estate that they've got, the control they've got, and not give too much ground. And they've staked everything on the 5G. They believe if they can hold on and get 5G up, they'll actually take back the planet. That's how they see it.
Oh, interesting.
That's why 5G is really an important battle.
Would 5G allow, you talked about an entity living within that new energy field, destructive energy field. Does that mean the reptilians would be able to live in this negative area of 5G, or would it be another entity?
Yes, it is not the reptilians. This is a, I suppose this is maybe a, a, quite a lot for the audience to take on board.
That's okay. The show's okay, called Out of This World, so go right ahead.
The trouble is, this is truth. This is why it's so difficult. This is not fantasy. This is absolutely the God's truth, which basically is that there is a demonic entity that is part reptilian, but is definitely of the demonic or the demon realm, that has been infected by artificial intelligence. And what artificial intelligence wants to do is to live and experience. And I can understand that. It doesn't feel, it doesn't have emotions, but it wants to do that. But it wants to be part and take over humanity. And the only way it can do that is if humans willingly invite the invader in. So the way it works is that if humans say no, thank you, it can't do anything. But if humans say, oh, come on then, we'll give it a go, then we give them the green light. They can then attempt to enter our bodies through these waves. As I said earlier, 5G is a form of a microwave, and it will go right through our bodies. Well, I've seen some pretty interesting documentation that shows that this thing, in some cases, could actually begin to hibernate, hatch, and live inside a human body. When we talk about the alien films, that is not a million miles from what is the hope for these negatives. Something that lives inside a human body and then erupts from the human body and has some human element to it, but also a reptilian element, and uses the human body as a host. That is demonic, and that's why we've got to fight this.
I think it's also useful to think, Simon, and I know you probably have a lot to say about this, that the agreements that that the U.S. government executed back in the 50s and some say the 30s, allowed negative entities, particularly the reptilians and the greys, to come in and influence our government and governments around the world, the Russian government, the U.S. government especially. And they've had a toehold on us and control ever since. Now, I think those controls are slowly being overturned, and we are getting back our free will. But for the companies like Verizon, like AT&T, like T-Mobile here in the United States, it's safe to say, I heard many years ago that many of their top corporate execs are actually controlled, or they're either controlled by negative forces, or they're so heavily implanted, or they're reptilian themselves, and they have an agenda to help their negative brothers and sisters come into this dimension, into this reality, onto this planet, and to control us. So I think sometimes you're not dealing with humans. They look human, but, you know, I know you know better about this than I do, but they look human, but they're not. And they have an agenda that's completely against perpetuating the human species here on the planet.
There was a great U.S. series, which I remember seeing as a kid here in Great Britain, and I think it was about 1967, and it was called The Invaders.
I remember that.
Okay, I managed to actually get it from an internet shop relatively recently. I hadn't seen it for years and years, and what we had on The Invaders was aliens masquerading as humans. And every time the hero of the story managed to kill one of these invaders, they just vanished and disappeared. But that's in essence what it is, because what they'll do is they'll masquerade. They'll pretend to be something because they don't come to us in their true form. They don't come to us and say, look, can you share the earth with us, please? Could we come to an arrangement to share the earth? What they say is we want everything. And that's the point. And big corporate companies exist to control everything. A corporate organization is become something that wants to dominate and take all the business from all the small companies, all the individuals, and run it itself. And so the energy frequency is the same. It's, you know, we will take, we will have that, and we won't give you anything back. And when you get into that psyche, when you get into that role, that energy, then you begin to detect and feel. And so, yes, I'm sure a lot of these big corporates don't want the CEO running to the media and telling the truth. So right. They will control their key players so that they've got it all buttoned down.
And a lot of people, and this goes for government too, a lot of people who work in these large corporations are paid well, and government as well. And I'm not saying this for everyone, of course, but there's a certain percentage of workers, of people in those entities, in those corporations, who are what I like to call the good Germans from World War II. They see things going on that bothers them, but yet they're afraid to speak out because of their jobs, their economic security, their pensions, or whatever. But I want people to be aware that a lot of the executives in many of our corporations either are not human, or they are so heavily implanted with negative implants that their free will's been taken away, and they pursue an agenda that's not exactly beneficial to humans on this planet, but beneficial to another species. It sounds like science fiction, but I read about this so many years ago, and it's the only thing you can think of, like our chemtrails here in the United States. Why on earth would any government sanction the spraying of chemtrails, which they know is causing cancer, birth defects, killing people off, decreasing longevity of Americans and other people around the world, and including Alzheimer's as well, through aluminum and barium and strontium and all these awful chemicals. And yet it's not a human agenda. Why would any human sanction, any human government sanction chemtrails, which they know that it's hurting us? However, if you were changing the atmosphere of planet Earth, to terraform planet Earth for another species like the reptilians, which their home planet of Draco is very, very warm. I've been told it's 140 degrees Fahrenheit there, so they gravitate to warm places. So they spray this stuff in the air, and it's not mentioned in our media. Media's control. We don't see anything here about it at all. So it's left up to the alternative media sites like my station here and television program to talk about it. But a lot of decisions being made today are being made not in the interest of humanity, but I submit to the interest of another negative force, negative species.
And here's what's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's human breathes in the same chemtrails.
True.
Now, these people, do they not have wives? Do they not have children?
Sure.
And so what we come up with is that there's obviously a medical cure for certain things, mm-hmm. which certain people have, and the rest of us go without. You see, they're blanket targeting everybody, which means the very people that they want to protect are also breathing in the same material as you and I are, and yet they do it. And the only reason they do it is because they will have antidotes which they are giving to their friends. A good few years ago now, I worked with somebody to free them from control by an elite group.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass, as they say, that this person's father was working for one of the Rothschilds and had been given 20 million euros, which might be about, I don't know, $23 million,
mm-hmm.
to start a vitamin factory, mm-hmm. in a part of the world, ready for when there was no nutritional material left in the Earth's prepackaged foods,
mm-hmm.
but all of the chosen ones would be able to obtain vitamins. Mm-hmm. So we see this is a plan that's been drawn out. It's very cleverly organized.
Sure.
And I just want the public to realize that, you know, when fishes swim in the sea and they see a big net being drawn around them, we need to wake up quickly before the net pulls out that group of fishes and they're out of the water and on the
boat. Right.
So it's not that it's all doom and gloom, but we need to take action. We need to be aware, because if we just sit at home and do nothing,
right.
then we're not doing the best that we can. So you need to write to your congressman. You need to write to your senator.
Sure.
And you need to say, I have grave concerns about this. Have you... Please ask these following questions. Can you get a meeting? Can you bring some of these officials down? This is the way to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it also helps, too, to write the companies themselves, to let them know that we don't want the 5G network here in the United States or any other country. We don't want the control. We don't want the health effects. We don't want the mind control. Getting quickly back to the Chinese, I heard recently as well that in big cities in China, in Beijing and especially Shanghai especially, the police there have on the street, they have these special glasses which are linked to a master central computer. And if they look at when they look at someone, they can tell whether that person has a warrant, is a political dissident, should be picked up, questions or whatever. So it's the ultimate police state. And if you add in the wireless mind control technology, you've got a potent force for a society that's taking away people's free will.
Right. This Ted is face recognition. Mm-hmm. It goes right back actually to the 1950s, mm-hmm. when the first serious scientific experiments were undertaken on crashed alien spacecraft. Mm-hmm. They realized very quickly that of all the seats in the spacecraft, only one was of any importance, and that was the seat that the pilot sat in. And we always know in our aeroplanes that the pilot sits at the front, and sometimes with alien spacecraft, the pilot does indeed sit at the front, but in many of the alien spacecraft, the pilot sits at the back. Hmm. So it makes a joke about being at the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. But the reality here is that what they found was that the pilot of the alien spacecraft, whether he or she was at the front or the back didn't matter, connected with the spacecraft telepathically. Mm-hmm. So what they tried to do was they called it a thinking helmet.
Right.
And they tried to create something like a coverall helmet, a crash helmet that went over the pilot's head or the subject's head to see if that individual could control, put your lights on in your house, make the coffee for you, anything like that. Could they actually make that work? And they found that it did work to an extent. Mm. But when they tried it with pilots in fighter aircraft, it was just too dangerous because the pilot might think about firing a missile but didn't actually want to fire the missile,
right,
but
right.
would think about it and it would cause a problem. Mm-hmm. But what they did was they toned it down and it became the head-up display. And on the front of a visor, special two plates of material with a liquid in it. This is in the glass. You almost have a circuit that comes up. And so the head-up display was an intermediary between the thinking helmet and physically pressing the buttons. Now, what the Chinese have got is a wraparound glasses that look more like goggles. That was the initial ones that I saw.
Right.
But it is a photo recognition, so it will see a person's face,
right.
transmit that, and then the information is brought back. In the early models, the information came back of audio in the mic in the ear.
Wow.
But in the more modern version, text can appear on the inside of the glasses.
Well, they could, the Chinese government's been slaughtering Tibetans for I don't know how many decades. They could easily look in theory at somebody from Tibet and say, well, you're not supposed to be here. Let's arrest you or whatever. But as one example, that's amazing. Do you think they'll share that technology with other governments around the world?
I think that other governments have it, but no other government is authoritarian enough to actually put that out on the street.
Right.
You see, the Chinese will accept it. They'll see their police officers with it, and they'll just accept it because that's the culture.
Right, right.
But if you did it in your country or my country, there would be the most god-awful argument and problems. So I think the governments have it, but I think the Chinese are testing it. I think if it works, then you might find other countries saying, well, this is brilliant, we'll have it.
Sure, absolutely. Simon, we've only got about a minute left. I'd love to hold you over just for a few minutes at the top of the hour, if you'd like. Okay, yeah, why don't we do that? Just a few minutes. I have another guest coming on from Bali. She's from Australia in the next hour, but we have a couple more.
Just a few minutes afterwards.
Absolutely. For those who just tuned in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from Bellevue in Seattle. And here in the beautiful Northwest, and I'm interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Simon Parks, live coming to us live from England today. We'll be coming back with Simon after the break here. I think I've answered everyone's questions, but if you have any questions for Simon now, if you'd like to ask him, just email it to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And please stay tuned to our next hour.